The letter is dated September 9th, 1923, and it is written by composer Gabriel Fauré to Marie Fauré, his wife. I have undertaken a quartet for strings, without piano. This is a genre which Beethoven in particular made famous and causes all those who are not Beethoven to be terrified of it. Saint-Saëns was always afraid and only attempted it towards the end of his life. He did not succeed there as he did in other kinds of composition, so you can well imagine I am frightened too. I have spoken of this to no one. I shall say nothing about it as long as I am nowhere near my objective, the end of the piece. When I am asked, "Are you working?" I reply shamelessly, "No." So keep this to yourself. At the moment, we are having those marvelous autumn days, so heavenly because of the warmth, nature's colors, and the attractiveness of everything one sees. Words of Gabriel Fauré to his wife Marie Fauré in 1923, referring to this work, his string quartet in E minor, opus 121. Music of French composer Gabriel Fauré will be celebrated in a special chamber music festival to be held at Wyoming Seminary Upper School in Kingston, just across the river from Wilkes-Barre, Saturday, April 8th, and again Sunday, April 9th. The concerts will be free and open to the public. Artistic director of the festival is cellist Christiana Oppenheimer-Vida, and she paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about Fauré and how the choice was made to honor him.
As always, we strive to get some variety going, of course, and this is for the first time actually we're doing a French composer. He has not been on the menu before. And of course, we look at the oeuvre and see if they have the appropriate pieces for us, because we're always looking for possibly a piano quintet, a piano trio, definitely a string quartet. And we also always try to find pieces that will involve the students. And he fits the bill, and I've discovered, because I always do some listening, of course. I mean, you can't buy these things sight unseen. So I found that some of these chamber music pieces are actually quite different from what you expect. And the reason for that is that some of them are very late in his career. And a lot of the really famous pieces are part of the early Fauré. And they really spoke to me when I heard them, and I thought they strike a nice balance between being just beautiful but also challenging the listener a little bit. And that's always, I think, important, that we're not just sitting back and listening. Well, if you want to do that, just go to a department store and listen to the music in the background. But we want to open ears, and we want people to try to really delve into the music and get some in-depth experience out of it. And I think these pieces can deliver.
What kinds of things were going on in his later life? What influences might have been swirling around in France and in Europe that did or didn't have an impact on what we'll hear?
Well, it's always hard to say if there's a direct impact, but there is an atmosphere, there is an overall mood that is influenced by what's going on politically. And obviously for the late Fauré, that means World War I. And he was very much affected by it because his son was involved. He was in the field. And Fauré had experienced war because he was in the 1870-71 Franco-German War. So he had a real experience. He knew what this was like. And so this really did influence him, and he was worried, he was concerned. The whole situation after the war was very unstable as well in France, so I'm sure that played a role.
And as you say, you can't say definitely, but at least we know the context.
Right, you can't say measure 25 is in minor because he was sad on that day, of course not. But it's on a more abstract level, and I think it does play a role, yes.
And what have you chosen then? You mentioned the quartet and the trio and so on.
Yes, so the Saturday evening program, we will play the piano trio. Jean-Michel Vida will play the first violin sonata, which is an early work, and then we will finish with the string quartet, which is the very last piece Faure wrote right before his death. And what's fascinating about it too is that it is the one and only work or chamber music work where he abandoned his instrument, which was the piano. It is the only one. And he even wrote, I think, to his wife, I believe, that he was really scared, because ever since Beethoven, the string quartets were sort of the ultimate chamber music. The composers were literally afraid of them. And he had experienced that his teacher, Saint-Saëns, was actually not very successful trying to do it. So it took him the better part of 78 years until he was ready to try.
And that's even worse than Brahms.
It is, yes.
In terms of the shadow of the great Beethoven.
The shadow of Beethoven hovering over Faure as well, apparently.
And you and your colleagues just performed the string quartet at the Northeastern Pennsylvania Bach Festival.
That's right.
It's one thing to read it, one thing to rehearse it, but to actually do it with an audience. What kinds of things came out for you?
Well, the first thing that I noticed, even at rehearsing it in the space, is that it very much relies on the space, too. It was a very different experience to be doing it in a larger space versus, you know, the living room at home. And then it is a piece that is very sort of delicately searching and very delicately woven. Actually, Sophie Till, who's playing violin, gave a little introduction, and she compared it to a piece of lace, which I think was a very lovely and helpful comparison. So all these lines are delicately woven together, and he's constantly shifting the tonality and the modality as well. And so there is this very interesting texture and colors. And I was honestly not quite sure how it would be received. And I found that people responded very well, that it clearly spoke to them. Probably part of the appeal could be the unpredictability and this sort of unrest that's in there. I don't know, but it clearly found its way to the audience.
And what else is on offer?
On Sunday, we will play the second piano quintet, which is also a later work, so we're very much leaning towards the late Faure. And then on the second half, we will play some of the really well-known pieces. So the Madrigal Singers will be performing Madrigal and the Prayer, and then we will perform Elegy for cello, the Berceuse for violin, and Après un rêve in an arrangement for violin and piano. Then my string ensemble will do an arrangement of the Pavane. I mean, how can you have Faure without the Pavane? And then we will combine string ensemble and madrigals and perform Cantique de Jean Racine, which is a really early piece. He was 19 years old. So we're at completely the other end.
Somewhere along the line, the pieces you've mentioned on the Sunday performance, we can say, ah, even if we don't know the composer, we know it's French, right?
Right. We know it's French. And we might even recognize some of the melodies without even knowing who wrote them. Really, how popular they are.
How do you work with your students on getting these pieces to be Faure and French?
Well, I mean, it's helpful if they actually hear a model. So I'm certainly, you know, give them a recording to listen to. But other than that, it is modeling the sound, I think, primarily. So if we're speaking string technique, we're speaking a relatively fast bow, not this deep digging into the string, but more of a floatiness. And we're working on vibrato and trying to understand hearing the harmonies. And they have to play five flats on Cantique de Jean Racine. They don't like me for that one. So I'm hoping that they like the end result and forgive me afterwards.
You will be the cellist throughout the festival. Tell us what you're enjoying about the experience.
I enjoy getting to know all this music in depth. I mean, in that intensity doesn't happen very often, and not with that volume of literature. What I just described about the late Faure is really something that I discovered as well. And I very much enjoy that experience. I enjoy passing it to my students, seeing them getting excited. It usually starts out with a good bit of skepticism, and they're not quite sure if they like the music, they're not quite sure if they can actually do it. And then we sort of work towards the end result, and along the way it turns around and they buy into it. And I love seeing that. And so far it's happened every time, so let's hope it'll happen again. And of course I love the fact that I can play with friends that I've known for years and that just come together, and the schedules get busier and busier and busier every year, and they're still willing to come back and buy into it and do it again.
Tell us who will be there with you. You mentioned some, but right. Give us the roster.
So with violin will be Sophie Till and John Michael Vida, and we have Amy Iwazumi on the viola. I will play cello, and Kathy Liu will play piano.
Is there a French school of cello playing? We might think about someone like Pierre Fournier.
Well, if you think about Fournier, there's an incredible elegance, very clean playing, which is fantastic. And I associate a specific sound with it, but I'm not so sure how much of that is technique or the actual instrument. Actually, my cello is a French cello, so it's from the 1880s. So theoretically, Fauré could have been played on it. And my bow is a French bow, so between those two, I'm imagining that puts my sound in the right direction.
And how long have you had the instrument?
I've had the instrument certainly 25 years, if not longer, probably close to 30.
So it's an extension of you.
Of course, yes. And I can tell that it's easier to make this kind of sound on this cello than sometimes, say, a really dark Brahms sound. I have to work harder for that. It's not as obvious.
Is the New Hall a good place for chamber music?
New Hall is a very good place for chamber music, yes. I mean, it's big for chamber music, but we find that it's really conducive to the sound and the clarity and the blend, so we very much enjoy playing in there.
If people want to know about the festival, should they go to the SEM website?
They can find the information on the SEM website. We're trying to get the word out as best we can. We need to make sure we thank Pennsylvania Partners in the Arts for the grant that makes it possible. And that is always matched by Wyoming Seminary. So we're very, very grateful for that. And we very much hope that this will continue. I know that a lot of colleagues rely on these kinds of grants. And if that was taken away from us, we would lose really a lot of our cultural lifeblood here. So we're very grateful and we're hoping it will continue.
Cellist Christiana Oppenheimer-Vida, Artistic Director of the Gabriel Fauré Chamber Music Festival, to be held at Wyoming Seminary Upper School in Kingston, Pennsylvania, just across the river from Wilkes-Barre, Saturday and Sunday, April 8th and 9th. Two concerts to be held in the new Kirby Center for Creative Arts, 260 North Sprague Avenue, in Kingston on the Wyoming Seminary campus. The concerts are free and open to the public. The first concert will be held Saturday, April 8th at 8 p.m. and will feature this work, Fauré's Piano Trio, Opus 120, as well as the String Quartet, Opus 121, and the First Violin Sonata, Opus 13. The performers include Sophie Till and John Michael Vida, violins, Amy Iwazumi, viola, and Christiana Oppenheimer-Vida, cello, with Kathy Liu, piano. The second concert will be Sunday afternoon at 2, April 9th, and will feature the Second Piano Quintet, Opus 115, some of Fauré's well-known character pieces, including the Lullaby Berceuse, the Sicilienne, the Elegy, and then also the Pavane in an arrangement for string ensemble, and the Madrigal, En Prière, and Cantique de Jean Racine with the Wyoming Seminary Madrigal Singers under the direction of John Vida. Well, the Wyoming Seminary String Ensemble will be directed by Christiana Oppenheimer-Vida. For more information, on the web, wyomingseminary.org wyomingseminary.org. That's a chamber music festival, 2 days, devoted to Gabriel Fauré at Wyoming Seminary Upper School, Saturday, April 8th at 8 p.m., Sunday, April 9th at 2, in the new Kirby Center for Creative Arts, 260 North Sprague Avenue in Kingston, right across the river from Wilkes-Barre. The concerts are free and open to the public. For more information, on the web, wyomingseminary.org, wyomingseminary.org. The opening words of Gabriel Fauré, written to his wife, came from Gabriel Fauré, A Life in Letters, translated and edited by J. Barry Jones.